shack where the animals were, not to the manger. That's past. They went into a house and they found Joseph and Mary and the child. And then they get down to the ground and worship the Lord. This child is the Lord. And they presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, apparently three kinds of gifts. And maybe that was the reason why so many people assumed that there were three wise men. I don't know. There might have been two only. That's plural. The text here is telling us that there were more than one. But there could have been 24 wise men. We just don't know. I guess number 3 is a very attractive number and has a lot of meaning in the scripture, and perhaps the people like to use number 3, and perhaps for the pictures and figures and so on, it's easier to have 3 than 30. You know, it would be complicated to make so many. So, the fact, the truth is that we don't know. There could have been 2 only, there could have been any more than 2. God only knows. But they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I heard and read some explanations and interpretations of this and so on, that gold is indicating royal dignity and bounty, and frankincense, priestly duty, and myrrh, something that was used in balsaming, which would foretell the death of our Lord. Well, could be. Could be not. I don't know. Did he need any balsaming? I doubt that. I don't think they made a mummy of him. I don't think his body was changed in anything. It's just wrapped in that linen and soaked with perfumes, oils, and laid in the tomb. And after the resurrection, the disciples come there and they saw, and all these wrappings is there in place as it was before. It's not messed up, you see. But he disappeared. He's not there. Now, it just revealed to them that something, quote, impossible, unquote, happened. Something that no human skill or power could do. But that's the lesson by the end of this book, and I hope the Lord will allow us to get to that later. But in any case, there must be some meaning, I believe, in these gifts. But sometimes I like to be somewhat practical and simple. You know, for the trip to Egypt, they needed this poor carpenter and his wife, and they taking care of the little child, they needed some money. They needed some material values. And all of these gifts, if the wise men brought them all the way from their country to Bethlehem to present them as their gifts to the newborn king, I believe that they must have had high monetary value, and that it was a good mean of exchange, buying other things and necessities that they needed. After all, they lived as strangers in the land of Egypt for how long, you know? And so, the wise men have done what they desired. But now just think about that. How long was their trip? How important for them was to come and worship the king and present their gifts to this king that was a child? And we have no indication that the child in any visible way acknowledged understanding of this visit, meaning of this visit. But for the wise men, it was a matter of faith and commitment to God. And they came such a long way, and they gave their best, and they worshipped down to the ground. I think about the words of our Lord, and that the Ninevites will rise in judgment with this generation and condemn them because they repented by the preaching of Jonah. And the people that are called the people of God, the Israelites, the Jews, they did not repent. The great majority of them didn't. By the preaching of the Son of God. And I think if we think about that, that we can realize that the wise men will rise in judgment with our generation and condemn our generation. They came from afar to worship the king, and we have the message of the king here. And man, in how many translations, how many versions, how many books, I would think that we have millions upon millions of Bible books in this country. And search for the people that really keep the Bible and believe it and are really devoted and dedicated, and they are ready to live and die for the Lord Jesus. You need a huge microscope to find some among our nation. They have done what they came for to do, and now they're ready to return to their own country. They're not interested in visiting some special points of interest, you know. They're not interested in merchandising. We don't have any indication that they want anything else in the land of Judea, just to worship the king. And now they're ready to depart. But there is the request of the king to pass on the news. Another king comes to the scene quite openly. God himself told to the wise men not to tell the king Herod anything. Just be quiet and return to your country, not through the city of Jerusalem, but some other way. And so they did. Another wonderful thing, these wise men are just wonderful in their wisdom. After they worship the child Jesus, they obey the Father. It's not a Gentile custom. The Gentiles like to have the name of Jesus, but they would rather have their own raiment, not his righteousness. They would have their own food, not the bread of life. They will live their own life just to have his name, my Savior. And you know, we Christians, we are the strongest civilization in the world. That kind of a story, I think it must be very ugly in the sight of the Lord. Taking his name and nothing else. They departed into their own country. They worshiped the Lord Jesus. They obeyed the Father. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now, if someone of the people, of contemporary scribes and whatever, you know, those that try to keep our interest in their books and, of course, their income or profit, they would make a big drama of this. And I think it was, to some extent, dramatic. But I see in this verse a wonderful hope. See, first, the instruction is given by the Lord through this angel to Joseph. And the instruction says, arise, move on, do something right now. And this is what you are going to do. Take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Why flee? Nobody's chasing them yet. Nobody is running after them. The time is short. Hurry up. And stay there until I bring thee the word. The angel is going to come back to Joseph and tell him what's next step. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When Joseph arose, he took the young child and the mother by night and departed into Egypt. What is going on to happen? What is coming to pass? Herod will seek the child to destroy, to kill, to murder the child. Herod knew nothing. He could not imagine anything less indecent, anything less bloody. This child has to die. Why? It's only a child. Even if this child will be a king someday, in Herod's mind, it could be another 20 years. Did he expect to live that long? Why is he afraid of a child king? Why such dark way of thinking? Well, my impression is that the moment the name Jesus appeared on this earth, I mean, the name of this child Jesus, all the dark powers were stirred up. All the evil spirits are moving all that is in their power to prevent the fulfillment of the prophecies. The fulfillment of that desire of ages. All our fathers of faith. Enoch. Noah. Abraham. All the prophets. They all were waiting for this to happen. And now it happened. And the few righteous people that were praying, and they endured in their prayers to this moment, and they were fasting, they lived in self-denial for the purpose of knowing the will of the Lord. All of them, and only a few of them, they waited for this child to be born. And Satan feared that. And when this happened, he was furious. And he tried to destroy this child. But he cannot succeed. To persecute? Yes. To destroy? No. Now I would like us to go back to the beginning of this chapter. And think about that in our experience. How much of this we experienced ourselves, each one of us. Compare the birth of Jesus with the birth of faith in Jesus in your heart. And try to think that when we first believed the Word of God, to the extent we did believe it, it was a fulfillment of a prophecy. It was the fulfillment of a desire of some wise men long ago and some wise men today, that the Word of God will be proclaimed and there will be those that will believe the Word of God. And when we believe the Word of God, we start inquiring from that Word. We want to know what the Word of God is telling us. What is the next step? What we should do? Where we should turn to? How do we find out what the will of God for us is? And what is our direction? How is He and where is He leading us to? And some of us questioned. Is God leading me this way or that way? If He leads me this way, I'll go. If He leads me the other way, not yet. That's not what the wise men did. But I did some of that. And some of you might have done it or might be having doing that now. You know, if we are not willing to follow the Lord as He is leading us unconditionally, we are not taking the example of the wise men. We are not taking the example of Joseph and Mary. We are taking the example of this evil and adulterous generation around us. If we are willing to follow the Lord wherever He leads us, and no matter what happens, then Christ is born in our hearts. And when He is born in our hearts, just like the wise men, we get down to the ground, we get as low as we can, and that's the position to worship Him. My own will goes out of existence. And I'm dead. Dead to the world. Dead to evil desires. And let's not make fancy funerals. That's not God's way of doing it. It's dead. It's ugly. It's nasty. Clean that out. Get away with that. And then walk with Jesus. What's next? Persecution. Hatred. Evil things will be against the righteousness. But there is a star. Look how many pages our star has. The whole book. And it's leading us to worship the Lord and then to follow Him. Not to cooperate with the wicked king Herod or any other. You could put a long list of names here. Where is Herod today? Where was he short time after that? I remember when we were prisoners how some of those officers said, "You are going to leave your bones in this prison if you don't change your mind and go along with us. Our idea is going to conquer the whole world." Elijah mocked the priests of Baal. I have difficulty resisting some sweet laughter when I think about their words. Where are they now? In the lifespan of a man like us, you know, such a short time, few years. The wise men returned to their country another way. They took the message to their country. The King of Kings has been born. The parents, the caretakers, Mary, the mother of the child, Joseph, her husband, they take the child and they flee. Well, the disciples, after the death of Stephen, one of the seven deacons, you know, the disciples of the Lord fled from Jerusalem, but they take the child with them. They took the message of the Bible, and going along, they proclaimed, "Yes, we are fleeing. We are running away from very furious persecution, but the message of the Lord is with us." They didn't flee back where they came from into unbelief, into wavering, into denying the faith. No. They fled geographically, but spiritually they were advancing. They proclaimed the gospel. Not only in Jerusalem as they did before, but in the other parts of Judea. And then in Samaria, before that in Galilee, and then after that in the far regions all over the world, the gospel was proclaimed. And the Lord Jesus said to them, "I am with you all the way, all the time." And to today, there might be very few that carry the gospel with them in their hearts, in their life. But the Lord is with us if we obey Him, if we follow Him. And it's wonderful to walk with the Lord. There is nothing that can be compared with the peace and joy that He gives to fill the hearts of those that emptied their hearts of Gentile religion and embraced the gospel of the Lord.